I don't think he'll be here covering the game. There's a lot going on, actually,
Steve. He may have some other things to do,
there's
you think?
Preds, Red Wings at Bridgestone, and Vanderbilt and Yale at Memorial Gym. And believe it or not, Steve, the Titans have signed someone. Hello!
They do. Well, technically, they can't sign him until tomorrow afternoon.
Well, that's right. But it's a faux signing.
They've legally tampered with someone this afternoon.
Yes, they have. It's a faux signing. Tomorrow, it's for real. Today, right. It's fake. But what did you make of Andre Dillard? 3 years offensive tackle from the Eagles, who I guess was more of a fill-in guy, reserve guy. Is that fair to say?
I think so, and I think there's been injury issues that have been a problem in his career so far. He missed all of 2020, missed the first four games of last year. So he's got to find a way to stay healthy and be able to be available to be on the field. But he's a guy who was drafted 22nd overall, so a first-round guy, certainly projected to play more than he did in Philadelphia. And the hope that is that he comes to Nashville and to the Titans with a bit of a chip on his shoulder and a really high upside. That he, if he can get on the field and get into an offensive line and sort of be a guy, that he can really develop into a quality guy. And I think right now in the locker room, he's the odds-on favorite to be the left tackle for this team. Now, does that mean they won't find somebody else or have a competition there? I don't know. We don't know what Rand Carthon's executing right here. But at the moment, he looks to be the first guy in the room at the moment at left tackle.
Really, the news, and we'll get to this in just a minute, is all the defections, right? All the former Titans players signing elsewhere. We'll circle back around there. And one of those guys that I did want to ask you about was David Long. But it looks like the Titans have already found their replacement for David Long, and it's being circulated right now. I think Diana Russini was the first to put it out there. I think, but Al Shire, I guess is how you say his name, linebacker. From the 49ers?
From the 49ers, yes.
What do you make of that?
Well, he's a Rand Carthon guy. He's a guy that he knows from his time in San Francisco, and I think he likes the player. And it's a player that was buried behind Pro Bowl-type guys at linebacker in San Francisco, so he doesn't have a ton of stats or a ton of reps necessarily. But Carthon knows him intimately in terms of what type of a player he is, what the work ethic is, and all of that. And apparently he's seen enough to think that he's a guy who can come in, step in a bigger role here, and be productive on this Titans defense. And the other thing I'll point out at that position is the Titans have a track record over the last several seasons in this defense that no matter who's on the field, they're going to be productive there. What makes this defense sing is Jeffrey Simmons and Denico Autry up front, Harold Landry hopefully back rushing the passer on the outside healthy, and then the guys on the back end, Kevin Byard, Amani Hooker, Christian Fulton, stuff like that. The linebackers have just kind of filled space, and they've all been productive. You know, Monty Rice, Zach Cunningham, David Long, Wesley Woodyard, on and on down the list. Whoever's been out there, Rashawn Evans, they've all been productive, but they haven't necessarily been the stars of the defense. And so I think they look at this and say, here's a chance to get a guy, not a ton of money, but we know who he is. We know the work ethic. We think he fits into the culture here, and we think he can step in and play right away and be productive.
David Long, 2 years, $11 million with the Dolphins. One, are you a little surprised at that number? I mean, is that just maybe a smidge low or no?
Yeah, Darren, I thought it was low, and I think what that tells you is there wasn't much market for him.
Yeah.
You're talking about a guy who missed 12 games over the last 2 years, and you can say what you want, that it's just unlucky and that he's totally fine from it now, which is true. You know, I don't think there's any lasting effects from the injuries he's had. And so I expect him to go into camp this year as a healthy guy. But he's a little bit undersized in the NFL at the linebacker position, and he's had injury issues. And if you're another team out there, how much do you want to invest in that? And also, just like I was talking about the Titans able to find production, I think more and more you're seeing teams around the league that feel like inside linebacker is a place where you can kind of plug and play. Hmm. And the real game changers are at other positions on the defense, so why pay top dollar for that type of guy? I think David Long's a very good player. I don't think he's an irreplaceable piece, and I think the Titans viewed him as that, especially after seeing the injuries of the past couple of years, and I think it bared out that the market viewed him as that as well.
Did you just say maybe the league is devaluing his position?
That's right.
Good luck then if you're a linebacker.
Yeah.
Just like running backs. Geez. Look, in all seriousness, John Robinson, you know, it's easy to pile on when they're gone and point out all the misses, which, you know, unfortunately were there, and it was part of why he is no longer the general manager. But that was not a miss. Picking David Long in the sixth round was a hit, a big hit.
No question about it. He was a bulldog for this team. He was one of the emotional leaders, I think, on last year's team on that defense that held them together through all the injuries. So I think there's a lot to credit David Long for and his play. But again, you just said it. It sort of feels like the running back of the defense now, where there's just a belief that there's a lot of guys out there that can run sideline to sideline and come up and fill a gap and make a tackle. And those guys generally are not game wreckers. You know, those guys aren't getting you 13 sacks in the season. They're not getting you 7 interceptions. They're just there to clean up the messes 5 yards downfield. And you need those guys. But I think there's the belief that a lot of guys are – I mean, think about it. How many games last year did the Titans essentially have a practice squad linebacker in a starting role? I mean, Jay Gibbons was in there for a while. I'm totally blanking on the other guy's name. Starts with an S. That was out there for a significant period of time. I mean, they had multiple guys that they literally would bring up the day before the game from the practice squad who would then play 50 reps.
Yep.
And they would be productive on Sunday. And I just think that's how the league views that position now. And with money being tight, and you have to allocate that to those other positions, you know, the pass rusher, the interior defensive lineman that blows things up, the lockdown cornerback, that's where the money's got to go. And with that being the case, if you can find a guy in a later round, or if you can find a cheap free agent to come in and plug and play at middle linebacker, why not do it?
Steve, I agree with you. I think what's interesting, if I'm just being totally honest, what jumped out at me is I wonder when Mike Vrabel basically called out David Long, right? And I think he called out Christian Fulton, if I remember, the soft tissue guys or the hamstring guys, the guys that kept, you know, basically not being available. I wonder, because when I saw that deal, I'm like, look, I know they're shedding money, but the 2 years, $11 million for the production that you get out of David Long when he is on the field, it sounds like a team or maybe a coach that was frustrated with his constant injuries. Like you said, he hasn't been available a lot the last 2 years. That's ultimately what had them move on. And I wonder, you know, that how much what Vrabel said about him played a factor in all this.
I wouldn't be surprised at all, Darren, if it played a big role, not just here, but also elsewhere, as other teams looked at it. There's no question that was sort of a shot across the bow at his roster last year of saying that, look, we've had some bad injury luck. We've had some guys who've torn ACLs. We've had some guys who have broken bones and those sort of things that you just can't help. That's just bad luck. But then we have a whole bunch of other guys who have these sort of nagging or recurring injuries that aren't from physicality. They're not being trained enough in the off season. It's overworking. It's underworking. It's all the combination of that. And he basically just said, look, we either have guys who need to take better care of themselves to prevent this from happening, or they need to be tougher and realize that you're not going to always feel 100% in this game, and you got to find a way to get on the field. And I think that was a very clear message, and I think it maybe carries into the offseason in terms of what the Titans want. And you're right, 2 years, $11 million isn't a lot of money, D-Mac. At the same time, $11 million is a lot of money for a guy who isn't going to be on the field.
Yeah.
And so if they look at it that David Long has missed almost a full season within the last 2 years, then $11 million is too much money.
Who is the scout for the Bears that has ties to Nashville or to the Titans? Who are we missing? Because it seems like a direct pipeline. This has been going on for years. It looks like it doesn't matter who's the general manager, and it looks like they're back at it again. Two more signings of former Titans now.
Yeah, DeMarcus Walker, obviously, Nate Davis on the offensive line. I think both of those guys maybe have a little bit of a Luke Steckel thing behind them, especially Davis on the offensive line. That doesn't explain the past years with Mark Mariani and Trey McBride and all the other guys that have gone up there.
Who was the Baylor receiver went there too.
Oh, Kendall Wright? Yeah.
Kendall Wright,
so,
yep.
So, I mean, there's been a bunch of guys who've made that pilgrimage north. And over the last 6 or 7 years, look, the Titans have been kind of a model franchise in terms of finding guys that maybe aren't stars that can be productive for them and help them win, and the Bears have struggled. So perhaps there's a little emulation there of thinking if this guy's good enough to start or play in Tennessee, then he's got to be good enough to come in and play for us, right? But, no, it's interesting. I mean, I think DeMarcus Walker was a key guy on this defense last year. He's not a game wrecker himself, but if you plug him in next to Danico Autry and Jeffrey Simmons, you're going to get a guy who can be really productive, and that's certainly what he was here last year. Nate Davis was not very good last year for the Titans, and he was a part of the reason that that offensive line, that yes, had its injuries, and yes, had some new pieces, wasn't nearly as good as what it had been in the previous couple of seasons. So it'll be interesting, because that was a contract year for him. It'll be interesting in a new setting what he looks like next year in terms of a productive offensive lineman. But they're both losses to the Titans in the short term, just because you're talking about guys who played a lot of reps and ate up a lot of space out there on the field and weren't all that expensive. And so as they try and rebuild this roster, you're trying to replace those two pieces as well.
Steve, is Dillard here to be the left tackle or something else, and are they still shopping for that left tackle?
As I said, I think a little bit earlier, Justin, I think at the moment he's the leader in the clubhouse for it, but there's only like four guys in the clubhouse, so you still have all the 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock tee times to go. So we'll see how those guys do on the front time before we really kind of look at the leaderboard on this. But, yeah, I mean, look, free agency doesn't officially start until tomorrow. So does Rand Carthon have a blockbuster, so to speak, free agency signing that he can put in on his offensive line and say, I know I've got at least one guy who's an all-star caliber player that I built this offensive line around? I question whether he has that much money available to him. And so I'm not sure it's coming, but who knows? We could be surprised. The other part of that is, what's he thinking about number 11? You know, we're not likely to see Rand Carthon trade up to do anything significant in the draft now because number one's off the board. We know Houston's not going to trade because they want their quarterback. Yeah. And so I don't think there's probably a whole lot of movement to come given all of the needs the Titans have. It just seems like staying at number 11 is the smartest thing and to compile assets rather than give them away in the draft. And so does he go at number 11? I mean, can you find a left tackle at 11 and then Dillard is coming in and it's going to be a competition between him and Petit Frere for right tackle and then the other guy becomes your swing? Are you set on sliding Aaron Brewer over? I mean, those are all the questions that you have. It's clear. I mean, there's just not enough bodies under contract right now to even trot out an offensive line. So how he goes about getting in those bodies, we're going to find out over the next few weeks, maybe all the way through the draft. But, yeah, at the moment, I think Dillard would be your left tackle if you had to play a game next week.
Do you believe they have been more active in free agent than in free agency or the tampering or what period or whatever we're calling this right now, pre-free agency? Do you believe they have been more active than what we have seen? Because we're hearing from the fans and, of course, Twitter, they complain about everything, never happy about anything. I got it. But, you know, what we've heard is, well, they're not doing anything. This means they're tearing down because everybody else is building up. Is it possible they've been trying to make some moves, but it just didn't work out for one reason or the other, and that's why we just haven't heard much to this point?
I think it's possible. I think here's what's more likely that's happening right now, Justin, is the Titans just don't have that much money. And so most of the deals you're hearing talking about right now are the superstar free agent caliber guys, right? Like they're the quarterbacks, they're the pass rushers, they're the offensive linemen that you expect to get high dollar deals. And I don't know if the Titans can really be involved in that given their cap limitations. And so I think what you're seeing right now is the teams that do have the cap space are going out and striking those deals. You know, the Falcons have been incredibly active because they've got a lot of money. The Bears have been incredibly active because they've got a lot of money. The Titans just aren't in that position. And so that doesn't mean to me that they're completely tearing it down or they won't do anything, but I think where the activity is likely to come from Rand Carthon is going to be that second maybe even third wave of free agency to try to find those guys that are $2 million players, $3 million players that can come in and play a significant role on this team. And then they're going to have to hope to find some stars in the draft. And again, that doesn't mean they're completely tearing it down. They still have Derrick Henry. I think Ryan Tannehill's the quarterback. You got Jeffrey Simmons and Kevin Byard on the other side. You got the makings there of a decent roster. But in terms of building up the places that need to be rebuilt, linebacker, the offensive line, extra wide receivers, I think your best players are likely to be coming through the draft, or at least that's what they hope. And then the free agency moves are going to be smaller deals that fill up the depth of this roster.
David Long Jr. has been tweeting out, he thanked the Titans and the city of Nashville for all the love over the years. But he also wrote, "You would have thought I tore my ACL the way they were treating me. Wild," is what he wrote 4 hours ago on his Twitter account. He clearly feels, pardon my language, some kind of way about what has been said about him by the head coach there, even though it was rumored that he wanted to stay here. Once you come out with something like that, I'm not sure you can heal it. Maybe it was just time for him to kind of move on at this particular moment, and I guess that's kind of what the room was reading there with that.
Yeah, well, first off, Justin, I think you're okay with the FCC with some kind of way, so good job with that. But secondly, yeah, I mean, look, David Long is hurt because he came in here and he outperformed a sixth-round draft pick at a team that gave him a shot, and he became a starter, and he was a productive player, and he's hurt that they didn't want to keep him around. And I think that's fair, but I also think he's looking at it with a different value at the linebacker position than anybody else's, as we just talked about a moment ago. Yeah. He didn't tear his ACL. I think he's fine going into OTAs and going into training camp. But again, he's an undersized guy with soft tissue issues that's kept him off the field for almost a full season in the last 2 years. What level of faith do you have that he's going to be able to play 17 games this year in Miami? I don't have a high level of faith in that. I don't think the Titans have a high level of faith in that. And based off the market, it doesn't seem like many other people do as well.
No.
And so I don't think it's some view that David Long's never going to be able to play football again because he had like reconstructive leg surgery or something like that. I think he's going to be able to play. The question is just, can he continually be on the field and can he play at a high enough level to merit some kind of money? You know, the Dolphins think he can fit into their defense, and that's why they gave him a 2-year deal. He's going to go down there. I think he'll be able to somewhat productive. But my guess is at the end of the deal, you're not going to think, oh man, he far exceeded what an $11 million contract will be. I think you'll just think he's another middle linebacker in the NFL.
All right, let's wrap up with this, Steve. What is the faux signing right now that you see that jumped out at you? What is the soon-to-be real signing anywhere? I mean, around the league, what is – it can be a trade, can be whatever. What have you seen thus far this week as we sit here on this Tuesday afternoon that has jumped? If you only could pick one, which one is it?
Gosh, that's a great question. It's hard. I mean, I was kind of interested in Jonnu Smith reuniting with Arthur Smith. I don't think that's like a game changer for the league necessarily, but it might be a game changer for Johnny's career. I think Jesse Bates is a really sneaky good one in Atlanta as well. But gosh, if I had to pick one, and I'm probably forgetting something right now, but I may go with Jawan Taylor going to the Chiefs just because they're already good, obviously, right? They're the Super Bowl champs. They have a quarterback who's a transcendent guy for several years to come. And now they get a good offensive lineman that they lock up for several years and not at a crazy high price tag. Gosh, you know, you put him in front of an even better offensive line, and I think it gets scary to think of what Patrick Mahomes may be able to do. So that may be a little off the radar to me, but I certainly thought that one was intriguing yesterday.
What's your gut feeling on what's going to happen with Lamar Jackson?
Good question. I mean, I think eventually he signs.
Really?
With Baltimore? Well, what's the option? You know, like
I don't know. It's
because it doesn't seem like other people are just jumping in line to bring him in, and he's such a specific quarterback. You know, I think he's a good quarterback, but you're not gonna, if you've built your offense around Patrick Mahomes or Matthew Stafford or most quarterbacks in the league. I mean, even here in Tennessee, although he might be a pretty good fit here, but like most quarterbacks in the league aren't built like Lamar Jackson. They don't run like him. You don't have an offense like him. So you don't have pieces around him like he does in Baltimore. And so I just don't know how many teams look at him and say, oh yeah, that's the perfect fit for what we want to do offensively. Baltimore does, because they've built a team around him already. And I think they understand that, which is why they've got so much of the leverage in this situation, and they get to sort of dictate the terms by the offers they've had. So yeah, I mean, if gun to my head, I have to make a call. I think at the end of the day, he re-signs in Baltimore, probably not for as much money as he wanted. And the Ravens keep the quarterback that's made them, you know, one of the contenders, certainly in the AFC North, maybe the entire conference over the last several years.
Yep. I'm intrigued to see how it all plays out. Definitely not a pool day today. Maybe a hot tub day?
Oh, God, no.
Hot tub?
No hot tub. No pool and no hot tub. I wish either of those were options, but we're not out of winter yet. So
yeah,
it's okay, though, because we have a lot of basketball to watch this week, so I anticipate being inside.
Good point. Steve, appreciate the visit. As always, enjoy the NCAA tournament, and we will talk soon.
Sounds great, guys. Take care.
Steve Lehman, News Channel 5. Appreciate his visit.